saints and sinners, Lord. We come today to worship you, to learn more about you, and to have you speak to us. In your name, amen.
You can be seated. Good morning. All right. Hey, guys, so in 2 days, we have kind of a big deal in our country. And, you know, we have an opportunity to vote. And it's not my job to endorse a candidate. It's not my job to push you one way or the other. But what it is my job to do is to call us as a church to pray about that, to pray about who God is going to allow to be the next president, who's God's going to allow to be in certain positions of authority as we go out and vote. But here's what we do have a responsibility to do. We have a responsibility to pray and seek God and go and vote. Amen? Right? In church, here's the thing. We need to vote for godly principles. We don't vote for a D. We don't vote for an R. We don't vote for an L or an I or anywhere else. We vote over godly principles. And so that needs to drive what we're doing on the ballot. And that's just what God calls us to do on that. And so, church, I just want to pray real quick about that. And then we'll dive in today. Father, we love you. And God, we are so grateful that we serve a God that no matter who wins the election in any race in a couple days, you're still on the throne. You are still sovereign. You are still God over all. And so, God, we trust you and we follow you. And God, we are listening to you. And God, whether it be President Trump or Biden or someone else, Father God, and other positions, God, we pray, Lord, that they would have godly counsel, that they would listen to you, God, that they would know you as their Savior, God, that they would lead us and protect us well and make decisions well that are best for the people and that line up with you. And so, God, we just give you that time. We pray, Lord, that we would go out and take responsibility and do what we need to do and go vote. But God, help us also be people that are on our knees praying for whoever is going to be leading us in different areas of our life. God, I pray, Lord, today that we would be attentive to you as we open up your word and see what you have for us this morning as we continue in our series of Vision Focused. And so, God, I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, good morning. Let's try that again. I got like 4 good mornings, you know, maybe less than that before, so that's good. Last week, we began our Vision Focus series. By the way, let me say this real quick. Thank you so much to everybody that served at our event this past week. We had, I don't know, a whole lot of cars drive through. Normally, we'll have hot dog stands stationed throughout different communities. And I know last year, like my community, we had 800, 850 hot dogs that we handed out. And we had 600 or 700 in another community. We had 200 or 300 in other communities. But this year, we had to do it different. Something about COVID. I don't know what that is. But no, I'm just kidding. No, we had to be careful. We had to be safe. And so we didn't do that this year. And we had a drive-through, kind of a trunk-or-treat type deal. And the response from the people that went was just tremendous. And the voting has closed for who had the best table. So we'll announce that tomorrow. And we have a gift card for the winner of that. But getting back to our series, we began our series, Vision Focus Series, a 5-week series where we look at Jesus. We look at how we follow him, look at who he is calling us to be as his church. At Authentic Life, we have a vision statement. We have a statement that helps us stay focused. It's this: we exist to connect people to Jesus, to grow together and live authentically for him. And we know how easy it is to get distracted with anything going on in our world. It's easy to aim at the wrong target, to lose focus. We know that the enemy, the world, right, sin, that wants us to lose focus and get distracted. But we want to be a church family. We want to be individuals that are committed and devoted to following Jesus. And so with that in mind, last week, we began the series in Matthew chapter 4 and looked at 5 powerful verses, verses 18 through 22, where Jesus invites 4 disciples and us, really, to follow him. When Jesus says to these disciples, when he says to us, hey, follow me, we need to know the me that we're following. Who is the one? When he says, follow me, who is that? And so we spent time looking at Matthew chapter 1 through 4 and just took a quick look at who Jesus is. And here's what we saw. Just in those 4 chapters, we saw that Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that saves us from our sins. He's the promised one. He is the center of history. He is fully God and fully man. He is the ruler and shepherd of God's people. He is King Jesus. He is the righteous judge, the perfect one. He is the light and the hope of the world. And so Jesus isn't just, when he says follow me, it's not just a religious leader. We have a lot of people in our life saying follow me, don't we? Right? Come and follow me, trust me, believe in me. But he's not just a religious leader. He's not an emperor. He's not a president. He's not a celebrity or some kind of YouTube influencer. This is Jesus calling them and calling you and me to follow him. And when Jesus called these men, we saw how they responded, right? How would you guys like to have your life on display in the Bible for the whole world to read? You know, the Bible is the number one selling book by far throughout history. And millions and billions of people have read the Bible and they get to see these guys' lives. But they had a great response. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then in verse 20, brothers Peter and Andrew, they're fishing. And it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 22, the next set of brothers, James and John, they're out mending their nets. So they're either about to go fishing or they're on their way back from fishing. They've got their servants or their employees there. They've got their father there with them. And Jesus calls them and it says this, it immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And based off those five verses, we looked at how do we apply that to our lives? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And we focused a lot on this first one. To follow Jesus means to live with abandonment for him. It's to live entirely for Jesus. Guys, it means to put Jesus and his calling on our lives, his leading in our lives above everything else. We've got a lot going on in our life, but Jesus is to be the center and the focus of our lives. We also saw to follow Jesus means that we need to fully depend on him and to trust in him completely. And last is to live in obedience to his mission. Because Jesus tells these guys in Matthew 4:19, he says, follow me and I will make you become, or I will make you fishers of men. So these men, fishing was their livelihood. Think about what you do for a living. How do you survive? How do you pay your bills, right? It was their business. It was their income. It was their family business for some of them. It was how they provided for their family. And so when they fished, that's what that was for them. And they'd go out there and they'd fish and they'd cast their nets out. And sometimes they would just put it into a smaller pocket to reach a smaller amount of fish. Often they would cast the big net out and they would throw these things out and they would just kind of toss it. You know, do you guys ever play with those big tarps as a little kid where you kind of pull them up and you run underneath them? Or what are those called? I can't even remember. Parachutes. You guys remember that? It's kind of like that. But what they'd do is they would have weights on them and you'd throw those out and they would span out real big and then they would drop. And they would drag along the bottom and they would pull those in and they would grab a whole bunch of fish. And so sometimes it was for smaller pockets, sometimes it was for as much fish as possible. And God uses that idea to say to them, he says, guys, I want you to be fishers of people, fishers of men. But this time, the fishing that you're going to be doing is not just going to have an impact here for your paycheck and for your bellies, but it's going to have an eternal impact. To go to all people and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Lord and the Savior and the King. To tell them about the gospel. The gospel simply means the good news. And so we see these disciples and others throughout the New Testament. They do just that. What do? They go out and fish for men. They go to one-on-one and have conversations with people. And they'll have smaller group conversations as they're hanging out with them. Or then sometimes they're preaching or they're talking to larger groups and they're casting out their big nets for fishing of men in bigger groups. They lived a life of obedience to his mission. Church, Jesus is calling us as well, just like these disciples, to be obedient to his mission. We learned last week that we can trust Jesus. Right, he is everything that we need. We can trust him. And so when he gives us this mission, we need to be obedient to that. And that's our focus today, to be fishers of men, to be fishers of all people. Next week, we're going to look at what it looks like to grow in our walk with Christ. Then after that, we're going to look at what it means to be together. By the way, let me use that as a time right now. Man, it's hard. Like, we're in two services right now when we'd much rather be in one. Right, we're kind of scattered. I'd much rather be doing life group in person, but we're online, and some of us are in person. Some are you guys with me, church? Man, we're meant to be together. And so let me challenge you this week. Reach out to someone in church and just say, hey, how are you doing? How can I pray for you today? Can you guys receive that challenge today? I'm just telling you, church, man, we gotta love on one another as we walk through this time. But for us, we're going to look at today what it looks like to be fishers of men. In our vision statement, we call that connecting people to Jesus. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the King, He's already lived a perfect life. Here's what He did. He came and humbled Himself, the Bible said, and took on the form of a person, right, of man, even humbled Himself completely to the form of a servant. What does that mean? He came to serve us. He came to give us what we couldn't get on our own. And here's what that is. We're sinners separated from God, guilty of sin, chained to that sin. And He said, you know what? I'm going to come and live the life you couldn't live. I'm going to live that perfect life. And I'm going to pursue the cross. And I'm going to be abused on that. I'm going to be abused and whipped and falsely accused. And then I'm going to carry that cross and I'm going to hang on that cross. And the sin of the world is going to be on me. And the Father is going to turn His eyes away. And I'm going to die on that cross for you. And He did. He died and they took Him down and they put Him in a borrowed tomb. And He laid there. And on the third day, He rose again. So all of that has already happened. And now Jesus is around after He raises from the dead. He's got 40 days that He's hanging out with His people and teaching and doing those types of things. And then He comes to this moment right here before He goes to be with the Father. And many of these words, some of us have memorized. Many of you guys know this. The question is do we live it? And here's what Jesus says. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." We're going to eventually look at all of that, those verses throughout this series, but Jesus says, go and make disciples. Now that Jesus, because He is in charge, now that Jesus has saved you as Christians, as Jesus followers, because of who He is, go and make disciples. Go and tell others about Jesus. We'll talk more about disciples tomorrow, but go and tell others about Jesus. Go and tell them the good news about how Jesus rescued you. And as you do life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you are at home, go and make disciples, Jesus followers, Authentic Life Church. Let's be obedient to that mission. And with that in mind, grab your Bibles, open them up to Matthew. Last week we're in chapter 4, this week we're in chapter 9. And this is a passage, church, that we mention a lot here at our church. In fact, this verse is on your wristbands if you have one. It's a passage that we talk a lot about, we refer to it a lot, right? We reference it a lot, but today we're not just going to do that. We're going to dive deep into Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And as we look at this text this morning, we're asking, what do we see exampled by Jesus here? What do we learn from Him when it comes to the community and the people around us and taking the gospel to them? What do we learn from Jesus? And so grab your devices, your phones, your tablets, your Bibles. Would you stand with us as we read this passage this morning just to honor God and His Word? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So we know that Jesus is fully God, and we see Him giving evidence of that right there. Verse 36, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech or pray or ask or beg the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Let's pray. Father, again, we just come to You. We pray, Lord, today that You would be in charge of our hearts. God, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, that would say, you know, I'm not a Christian, I don't know Jesus, I've not been saved from my sins, maybe someone online, God, we pray, Lord, today would be the day that they would give their life to You. God, as we sit here and we listen and we take in what You're going to teach us today, we pray, Lord, that we would be responsible or we would be responsive to what You're doing. Help us hear from You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Are you guys awake this morning? No? Some of you? All right. Wake up. All right? I'm going to send Eli around waking everybody up. How about that, buddy? Don't do that. Your parents are going to get mad at me. Don't tell him to do that. As Jesus followers, Jesus gives us a mission. We saw that in Matthew 28. We just read that passage a little bit ago. Go and make disciples. We see it in Acts 1:8. Just listen to what Jesus says here to his disciples. Another part of his last words before he leaves. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so the Bible tells us that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us and he empowers us. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the mission. That's the mission right there. Too often, when we think about sharing the gospel or talking to someone about Jesus, you might say, man, pastor, man, that just doesn't fit me. That's just not my style, right? That's just not what I do. But Jesus says, I get that. Like, I understand that you're not good at that. And he says, but I'm not asking you to do it out of your own power. He said, I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you walk with Christ and helps you grow. And he helps you tell others about Jesus. Others often say, you know what, pastor, I share Jesus with people. I share Jesus with people every single day, but it's through how I live. It's through my actions. And we say, praise God for that, that you have those actions. But here's the thing, that's being disobedient. That's falling short of what Jesus is calling us to do. It is, and I know we don't like to hear that because we're like, well, I'll just save them through, or I'm not save them, I'll just, you know, witness to them or share Jesus through my actions. Jesus doesn't tell us to do that. Here's how we know that. He tells us to go and be his witnesses. Right? The word witness is important, and Jesus uses it. It's very intentional here because of the weight that it carries. It means two different things. It carries two different weights here. To be a witness, church, means to use your words to proclaim the truth. To tell, to share the truth. And in this case, to tell others the truth about Jesus and who he is and what he did and that he wants to save them. Now, you want your life to line up with that. Like, Jay, if I come up to you and I tell you about Jesus, but my life doesn't look like Jesus, I probably shouldn't do that, right? Are you with me, church? So our life should line up with that. But our goal is not to just go out and live that way. Our goal is to tell them. That's the command. Now, there are a lot of people out there today sharing and writing books on how we can live our best life now or how we can live your truth, right? And how we can do that. But Jesus says, I'm not sending you out to do that. I'm sending you out to tell the truth about me and my life. And the word witness, let's dive a little bit deeper. And we get the idea that it's witness. We've seen court shows before, right? Where people go up and they become witness. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help me God, right? But here's where this goes a little bit deeper. That word witness is actually where we get our word martyr. It is the Greek word martus, right? Martus, that's the word. And here's what that means. It comes from the word martyr. Here's what Jesus is saying. The message of Jesus, the gospel, the truth about who Jesus is, the good news that he brings to our world, it is a message worth dying for. That's what that word means. We proclaim a truth that's worth dying for. And when we think about it, many have given their lives to tell others about Jesus. I remember when I was in Kansas City, a young lady came to know Christ. She grew up in the Muslim faith. The Lord saved her, and she just turned her life around. She gave her life to Christ. She ended up losing her life because of it. Missionaries all over the world believe that this message is worth it all. I've got friends that cruise up and down, we talked about it last week, cruise up and down the river or the Nile or whatever body of water that is. People made fun of me last week, you know, because I said the wrong thing. But they're cruising up and down the river so that they don't get killed, so they can go into the community and share the gospel. Many have shared this message. Many have lost their lives so that others can know Jesus. These disciples, all of them would suffer, most would lose their lives because they're telling others about Jesus. It is important to know, church, that we have opportunities and freedoms right here in the United States of America. Religious freedoms. We can tell others about Jesus, but too often we don't. But brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world are telling others about Jesus and losing their life for it. It's a message worth dying for. And so as Jesus followers, let's look at Jesus and learn from Him as we think and pray and obey Jesus in His mission. In verse 35, we see our first takeaway as we learn from Jesus. It says this: Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching them in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, Jesus is doing some God stuff here that only Jesus can do. But notice where Jesus is. He's with the people. He's with them. We often find ourselves in the church only surrounded by other Christians. Amen? We do, right? We find ourselves only surrounded by other Christians. And it's good. It's good to be around the family of God. It's needed. We have to do that. God says don't neglect that. But God has placed you and me where we are for a reason. You work where you work, you play where you play, and you live where you live on purpose. Why? Because God has placed you around others that may or may not know Jesus. And what we see from Jesus is this: He is with the people. Our first takeaway is just that: be with the people. How do you share the gospel with the lost if you're not with the people? So the first thing is be with the people. Talk to your coworkers, your neighbors, serving the communities God has placed you in. Right? We had a great opportunity to get out in front of people and just have conversations with them. Right? And we're going to follow up with them, and we're going to share Jesus with them. In church, we got to be with the people. We got to find ways to serve and engage with those around us. And it's not just so we can tell them about Jesus, because we love them and we want to serve them. Amen, church, right? Because agape love is loving someone even if they don't love you in return. But it begins by being with the people. So it could be by being with your neighbors or your coworkers. But it could also mean going to the mission field to be with those people. So Jesus was with them. And then from verse 36, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them. The word "seeing" is a little bit deeper than what we know in our English language. We don't really have a word for this. But it's not just seeing someone with your eyes. It means to see them with the intent to know them. It means to see them, to be acquainted with them, or to experience them. Jesus is seeing these people for who they really are. Isn't that good to know that God knows who we are and still loves us? Amen, church, right? Now, He can see these people's hearts. We can't, right? He knows their whole story. So for us, it's going to take a little bit more than just a quick glance, right? That's why we are first with the people, and then to connect into Jesus, we are to see the people. That means to know them, to be acquainted with them, to truly see people as Jesus sees them. I'm a little tired this morning. I'm like slipping over my words here. But Jerry, are you guys with me? We see them with the intent to know them. Take the time to engage with them and hear from them, to see them as valuable in the eyes of God. And with Jesus seeing these people and knowing them, it leads Him to something else. It says that He felt compassion for them. Church, I think it's important to note here that Jesus doesn't just have an emotional or a spiritual feeling. He has a physical feeling as well. The word compassion, the Greek phrase is literally "be moved with compassion," but here's what that means. To have compassion or to be moved with compassion means to be moved as to one's bowels. Guys, let me help you out here. If you fall in love with a girl, don't go up to her and say, "Man, I love you so much, I am moved from within my bowels." That probably will not go well for you, all right? You might say this, I don't know. It's a gut-wrenching love. That's what it is. It's a gut-wrenching love that moves you. In other words, it is a deep love that requires action. When Jesus sees people, He sees His greatest creation, those that He created to walk with Him and be with Him. He made it in His image to love them. And then so He sees them. He has an emotional and a spiritual and a physical agony for them. This same Jesus is the one that died for you and me. It's the same one that we call Lord and Savior, right? It's the same Jesus that we call teacher. It's the same one that had compassion for me and you. Right? To follow Jesus' example and to connect people to Jesus, we need to be with them. We need to be intentional to be around people. We need to see them, to really see them for who they are. And that leads us to this, church, to have compassion for them. Have compassion for the people. Sometimes we need this challenge. Our challenge is to, in all this, is to go and see beyond these walls. To go beyond our comforts, to get off our couches and see the people and let the Lord lead you to have compassion on them. There are almost 7.6 billion people in our world today. There are almost 1 million people right here in the Tucson area. And it's growing. And here's what we do know. Many of those people do not know Jesus. They're not saved. They're not rescued from their sins. They are on a road that leads to eternal destruction, separated from God because of sin. The challenge for us, church, is this. If we believe Jesus is who He says He is, if we believe in Jesus, if we believe in the Word of God, if we believe that people are lost and that Jesus is the only way, we must see them and have compassion for them. And remember, compassion requires action, so we're not done. It's not just a feeling. It's not we're driving down the road and we see someone that's struggling, we have compassion for them. It requires action. And so here's what Jesus says. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Let's look at this real quick before we see how we respond. When He says that they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd, here's what this means. He sees them spiritually. They were troubled. They were scattered. They were helpless. Jesus had been out there serving their physical needs, right? He was helping them with their sick. He's feeding them. He's doing all those things. He's out there in the community. Church, we often go out in the community and we serve the physical needs of those around us, and we thank God for those opportunities. You know why? Because they allow us to be with the people, to see them and to have compassion for them. As a church, we get to go to people's doors that are loving on foster kids and give them supplies that they'll need to get them through a few days, and we pray for them, and we invite them to church, and we tell them about Jesus if they're open to that. When we do events out in the community or when we're serving in the community, it opens doors for us to have that conversation with them. It lets them know that we love them. It allows us to see their greater need. Jesus is seeing a need greater than their need for even to be fed or healed. Can we see that, church? Sometimes we're to be fed and to be healed. I mean, that's a big deal. But He sees that they are lost. They're slaves to their sin. He sees that they don't have Him. He sees them chasing this thing or that thing in life, pursuing the things of this world, all while their hearts and their souls are spiritually dead and without God. Are we with them? Do we see them? And do we have compassion? Guys, church, God has placed you and me here in Tucson around others that don't know Jesus. Sometimes we wrestle with that. Like, why are we here? What are we doing? What's our purpose? What's our purpose in life? In fact, you look at Barna and one of their researches, one of the top questions people have is, what is my purpose in life? Well, God is helping us with that here. You are where you are so that you can point people to Jesus, the one that lived and died and rose again for them. To connect people to Jesus, we see them, we have compassion for them, church, and we need to see their brokenness or their suffering. I read another pastor wrote this about Jesus here. He says this. He said, Jesus didn't just see the size of the crowd. He doesn't just see someone's sin. He saw the depth of suffering that plagued them because of their sin. Too often we see people in groups. We just identify them in groups of people, or we see them for their sins or the decisions they've made in their life. And it takes Jesus in us to see past those things. It takes Jesus in us to feel their suffering, to see the road that they are on, to see their brokenness and have compassion rise up within us. Here's the thing. We all have sin and brokenness in us. Amen? Right? We do. We have all at one point suffered spiritually without Jesus. And when we see people and love them as Jesus does, we're also reminded of Jesus seeing our sin and still have compassion on us. So that just kind of helps us in our heart. Sometimes as Christians, we might get a little prideful and look at people and say, man, I'm better than you. We're not. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. Jesus met us in our brokenness and healed us. The person sitting next to you right now has brokenness in their life. The world all around us has brokenness in our life. And to be honest, that is where we need to meet people so that we can introduce them to the only one that can heal that brokenness. The Bible says, Jesus says that they were scattered and troubled. They were helpless. Right? As people, when we face brokenness and suffering in our life without Jesus, this is where we find ourselves. Here's what happens. When we're in a tough spot and we're broken and we're suffering, here's what we do. We try to find things to fill that void, to fill that hole in our life. We try to find ways to fix things and take away pain and suffering. And we start seeking and pursuing things like money or a job or sex or control, thinking that they will fix it for us. And here's the reality, they may for a period of time. But eventually we're right back to where we were because nothing that this world has to offer. If you're here today, let me just tell you this. If you don't know Jesus, nothing that this world has to offer will ever satisfy that, will never heal that brokenness in you. It's Jesus. It's the good news of Jesus. And so here's the last thing, church. We need to understand their eternal separation. When we are with the people, we see them, we have compassion for them, we see their brokenness, we also need to understand their eternal separation. Jesus wants us to see this whole picture here. There are physical needs that we can see. We can see someone on the side of the road that needs shoes or needs clothing, they need a hat, they need whatever it is, they need a blanket. They need to go to a doctor, whatever that may be. But Jesus is saying, see more than that. Tend to that need. But also see their spiritual condition. See the brokenness. See that they're broken like you were. See that they are lost like you were. And really understand what it means. Church, I want to lay this out for you. It means that they are separated from the God that created them and loves them. That's what sin does. We all have it, right? It separates us from the perfect and holy God. The God that loved us and created us to be with Him. Sin puts a division, a divide in between us. And that's why Jesus came. He came to suffer and die in our place, to bring us back into a relationship with God. Church, He was willing to pay the price, right, for your sin and mine. And when we understand that people all around us are not only going through this life without Jesus, I'm telling you, church, man, my time with people during COVID has just gone up. Like, we're just spending time with them, encouraging them, love on them, counseling. Are you with me, church? We see that there's brokenness all. Am I talking to myself here? Are you guys with me? Like, there's brokenness all around us, people. People are hurting. People are struggling. Are you guys awake? All right. I'm just telling you, I know you guys are taking it in. I know this is deep stuff. I get it. But people are struggling all around us. And a lot of them are walking through this life without Jesus. Here's the great thing for me. I can walk through this life and say, yeah, COVID stinks, right? All this other stuff, the division, the political stuff, it just stinks. But here's the thing I do know. Jesus is still on the throne. Right? He still loves me. I'm still going to spend eternity with Him. Right? And so I know that in this life. But here's the thing. 90 to 95% of the people in Tucson, if they were to die today, would spend eternity apart from Him. Church, that should put a little more urgency in our obedience. I think. Here's the thing. Jesus came to rescue us from this. He came so that we could know Him and walk with Him and be with Him. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you leave this world, the body tells us this, that when you leave this world and you're absent from your body, you are present with the Lord. But if you don't, please hear this, church. If a person has rejected Jesus, or they've not been saved by Jesus, if they don't know Jesus personally, Jesus will have to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Meaning, I came for you, I died for you, I rose again, but I don't know you. You've not followed me. In Matthew 25:41, we read this, where Jesus will say to those who are not saved, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Church, we need to catch that. Hell was never created for people. Do we get that? Like, hell was never created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But when we sin, we're separated from God. And if we don't know Jesus, if a person hasn't trusted in Jesus for salvation, they are eternally separated from God in a real place called hell. I know it's not a popular thing to say today, but it's true. That's where Jesus and the gospel enter in. Jesus says, I'm the good news, right? You don't have to do that. I'm the one that can wipe away your sins. I died for your sins. Through me, you can be made new. You can have forgiveness. You can have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. I've had many opportunities to be at the bedside of someone before they went into eternity. Are you with me, church? Like they're there in the one moment and they're not the next. And what a difference it makes when that person knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior and when they don't. Religion kind of says, man, just work hard or do this or do this. And if you check off the right amount of lists, then maybe you'll make it in. You don't find that in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus says, follow me. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Church, when we think about people's eternity, it should drive us to be in the community to see them and know them and have compassion for them and tell them about Jesus. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, the laborers are few. Jesus is speaking to us here, church. Let's listen. Jesus says, look, there are people all over the place. There may be people right here in this room. There may be people online, people that are broken, lost people, people that need Jesus. And it's more than just physical needs. It is a spiritual need. Jesus saw the greatest of human needs as a harvest that was plentiful. A harvest that needs laborers, workers. My old professor, Dr. Jim Anderson, my seminary, just, man, this guy is 80-some years old and still leads tours over into Israel and goes to the promised land. And just a guy that loves Jesus. He says this about this passage. He says, like a wheat field that has turned white, the lost are out there ready. While there are many who will not listen and many who hear without a positive response, there are others who are eager to hear how they can be saved from their sins. There are lost souls to be witnessed to. Church, God's at work. He's at work all around us, working in people's lives, and he has called us and sent us to go and tell them about Jesus. But Jesus says this, he says, the workers, the laborers are few. The laborers are few. We proclaim and tell others about every area of our life. Man, people know who I cheer for when it comes to college, when it comes to the NFL, when it comes to baseball, right? They know who people's political affiliation is, but we often don't tell people about Jesus. And so Jesus says in verse 38, therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers in his harvest. Church, when God gave me the opportunity to come and visit Tucson years ago, 2012 maybe, I think, I remember God laying this passage on my heart. I knew he was calling me and my family, and not just us, but Authentic Life Church, to come and be the laborers, the workers, to reach the lost for Jesus. He's calling us to be willing to obey him and tell others about Jesus. I was hearing from men that really loved this city. They'd been praying for the city, right? And they'd been serving the city. And they were telling me how many people were scattered and weary, like sheep without a shepherd, helpless, right? Broken all throughout Tucson. And they would just go through and say, man, there's this many people here and this many people here and this many people here, and there's not any churches to reach them. The harvest was plentiful, but the laborers were few. And these men were praying, these men and women were praying, God, send people here ready to share the gospel. Raise up men and women right here in Tucson, those that know Jesus, that will go out and tell others about Jesus. Thousands of people around us that don't know Christ. Jesus has a plan about that. You ready to be commissioned? Here we go. We're about to see his plan. He says, ask. People in my community got egg last night. What's wrong with people, man? That's an ADD moment, Connie. I'm sorry. He says, ask, beg, plead, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Church, Jesus commands us to pray. Let's just think about that. When's the last time we prayed for someone to know Christ? Authentic Life Church must be a church that has compassion for the lost and a church that prays for the lost. We are commissioned by Jesus to pray that God would send workers into his harvest. When we see the crowds, we feel their suffering, we see their eternal separation, it should lead us to pray. Pray for men and women that are willing to sacrifice and willing to work hard, willing to give and share, willing to have compassion for the lost. But we must be obedient to that and pray. We're to pray for God to send workers into his harvest. I pray that God sends out workers from here every single week. You guys are in places I can never be. I'm in places you guys will never be. God sent us out to share the gospel. So we're commanded to pray, and the last is this, to share the gospel with people. We must be willing to go. Jesus commands us to go. He doesn't put an age limit on it. If you know Christ, we must be willing to go. Back in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples. Acts 1:8, go and be my witnesses. Church, God has you right here in a mission field called Tucson, Arizona, Vail, Arizona, Corona Day 2. Are you with me, church? You are here for a reason. And God has called us to go. We come here together as a church to encourage and fellowship and be equipped. We need to be all in at Authentic Life, and I get all that. We need to do that. We need to not neglect our time. But we must also not forget that we're called to go and share the love of Jesus and introduce people to Jesus. Are you with me, church? Man, that we're commanded to go and do that. I knew in 2012, 2013 that God was sending us here. I knew God was sending us here after people had prayed. I sat down with a guy that I had no clue who he was, and he wanted to buy me Panera. We sat down and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know, people have been praying for over 50 years for a church that would share the gospel to be planted right in this area." I wasn't even born yet. Are you with me, church? Some of you guys weren't even born yet. But God had a plan for Authentic Life Church, and He answered people's prayers so that we would go out and tell others about Jesus. I want to close with this. I love this prayer request. Paul, one of the greatest evangelists and church planters in the history of the world, he says in Colossians chapter 4, and I want this to be our prayer request as we close today. You can see it up on the screen. I think it's up there. But Paul's telling the church, he says, devote, Colossians chapter 4, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. And listen to his request. He says, at the same time, while you're praying, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ from which I'm in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Church, my challenge to you is that you would pray for God to open a door for you to speak the truth about Jesus to someone. Pray that God would open doors, that He would give you an opportunity to share Jesus and His gospel with those that He places in our life. Pray that we would make it known as we should. You know, we're wearing these shirts today. I feel kind of weird today. I'm like some kind of hipster guy, I guess. I'm wearing a t-shirt 2 weeks in a row. I don't think I've ever done that in my preaching life, but I feel free today. Is that good? Anybody want to leave because I'm wearing a t-shirt? Okay, good. You have a heart issue if you did. Here's the thing. Who's your one? It's just a question to say, who has God placed in your life that you can share the gospel with? 4 years ago, a man moved two doors down from me, and he came out to me, and he got to know who I was, and he found out I was a pastor, and he said, "Hey, would you come and bless my house?" I said, "Well, I know what you mean." He had a Catholic background. I said, "I know what you mean." I said, "Hey, what I would love to do is pray over your house with you." He goes, "Sure." So we prayed over his house, and from that day on, he was my one. I don't know what God's done, but 2 days ago, I got to share the gospel with him, and I just laid it out for him. I said, "Jesus loves you. He died for you, right? He wants to spend eternity with you. What's your response? Will you follow Jesus?" So pray for him, my neighbor. Hope you get to talk to him today or tomorrow, but church, who's your one? Who is somebody that God has placed in your life that needs to know the gospel? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you, God, that you came and you died for us. God, I pray right now that you would lay someone on our heart that does not know Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you would lay someone on our heart that we would continually pray for them to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, maybe there's someone in here today that says, "You know what? Sounds like, you know, we're preaching towards the church to go and share the gospel, but maybe there's someone here today that said, you know what, I don't know Jesus. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know Jesus. I'm not walking with him. I've not been saved from my sins." And God, if there's someone here today that would say that, we pray, Lord, today that they would respond to you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, God, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God, that Jesus came and he died and that he rose again, that we'd be saved. And so, God, I pray, Lord, today that if someone here today does not know Jesus, someone online does not know Jesus, I pray, Lord, today that you would save them today. I ask all this in Jesus' name. With your eyes closed, church, just to respect those that are around you. God, I just want to challenge you Are we praying for the lost? Are we praying for God to send workers into His harvest? Are we praying for our city that doesn't know Christ? I want to challenge you to pray for your one. Who is your one? Who would you say, God, I'm going to pray for this person every single day or once a week or whatever it is for you. Who's your one? If you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus. If you're online and say, I don't know Jesus, I've not been saved. If I were to die today, I wouldn't be in heaven with Him. But I want to. I want to know Christ. If that's you today, if you're in here, just raise your hand and look at me. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to have you walk forward. I'll connect with you right after church. If you're online, fill out that connection card. Email us and let us know. We'll call you today. But if that's you today and say, I don't know Jesus, I would love to be saved from my sins today and know more about that. If that's you today, raise your hand, look at me, and we can connect right after church. Father, we give you the rest of our time. Be glorified as we sing. Be glorified as we go out and tell others about Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand.